I want to repeat a couple of things. You know, I really feel privileged to have been here today, and I opened some of my comments this morning with some remarks about the warmth of the Australians and the professionalism of the fire services, and I'd repeat that. You folks have much to be proud of in terms of the research you're doing, the work that the Bushfire CRC is doing, and the dedication of the people that I see trying to fix these problems on the ground, and certainly we've heard a lot of that today. I had to kind of chuckle when I heard the Attorney General, Mr. Ruddick, talk about ideas that came his way. You know, somebody wants to drop concrete on a fire, or somebody's got an idea to detonate a bomb over a fire and rob it of oxygen. And I'd relate to you about 10 or 12 years ago when I was working in Washington, you'd get the same ideas and run everything from somebody wanted to fill a dirigible full of water and haul it around and then drop it, you know, stuff like that. And they made our wall of honor, we called it. Well, one day this letter comes in, this guy says, you know, I think you ought to, this is 10, 12 years ago, you ought to fix up 747 air tankers to be water bombers. And goes to show. I hope the cameras aren't still running. Let me follow up briefly with one of Naomi's comments. It had to do with inquiries, what you folks call coronials. We're seeing the same thing in the U.S., and one of the things we're trying to do is move the focus from a simple scrutiny of what happened between the time of detection and the time of control, which were almost every review or inquiry or lawsuit focuses on, to maybe expand that vision. What happened on this landscape in the years or decades leading up to this incident that may have set the stage for this tragedy? And now, after the last smoke is cleared, what are we going to do in managing the land that may or may not set the stage for the next catastrophe a generation removed? That kind of thinking is something that we're trying to get some traction on, as we say, and maybe it's something that our countries in dialogue can work on together. We talked about the megafire phenomenon today, and as an indicator, not as a fire, not as the damage, and not as the cost and loss, but as an indicator, what does the megafire phenomenon mean to us? In the U.S., that's the question we're struggling with. What does it mean to us in terms of the protection strategies that we might adopt? What does it mean to us in terms of sustainable outputs for watersheds or endangered species habitat? What do these things mean to us? It may very well be that in our country, it's water or biodiversity that moves the fire debate. I'm confident, though, that the debate won't move very effectively unless it's supported by situational assessments and data analysis. Several years ago, we started fooling around with some of this, and one of our first exercises was to look at acres burned per acres protected trends in the U.S. by region over a 50-year period, and back then it ran from 1940 to 1990. And we found that, as a surprise, acres burned per acres protected trends were going up in every region of the country save one. The one part of the country where it wasn't going up, and in fact it was going down, was the part of the country where we did 90% of our mitigation work. That was telling to policymakers, and that's the kind of data that I think supports the policy debate that I sense is coming here in Australia. It seems clear to me that the megafire problem is not going to be solved within the fire services acting in isolation. So the question then is left, how do we get outside of ourselves? Whether it's AFAC or research or a kind offer by a Mr. Ruddock, how do we get outside of ourselves? If this is a land management issue, perhaps more than it is a fire issue, how do we move the issue in the land management policy arena? If social perceptions are largely driving the decision space that we don't have in fire, how do we turn that around? I'd suggest that I think in your country, like my country, we talked briefly this afternoon about comparing the Florida example and the California example. There are examples around the world where people are doing things a little differently with dramatically different results. And it might be worth doing that kind of comparative analysis.